Invocation on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salam to everyone and welcome. This is a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we are so happy that you choose this new episode to listen to.
Around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's stop questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Wednesday, 15th of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Ordibehesht 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 24th of April 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to Allah's word. Chapter Al-An'am, verse 99 is ready to be listened, and of course then we come back with a more explanation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به نبات كل شيء فأخرجنا منه خضرا نخرج منه حبا متراكبا ومن النخل من طلعها قنوان دانية وجنات من أعناب والزيتون والرمان مشتبها وغير متشابه انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينعه إن في ذلكم لآيات لقوم يؤمنون.
And it is He who sends down rain from the sky, and we produce thereby the growth of all things. We produce from it greenery, from which we produce grains arranged in layers, and from the palm trees of its emerging fruit are clusters hanging low. And we produce gardens of grapevines and olives and pomegranates, similar yet varied. Look at each of its fruit when it yields and at its ripening. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse says that Allah sends down rain from the cloud in the sky by which the growth and development of all things come forth. This is the nutrition of beasts, birds, wild animals, and human beings are produced by means of it in order that they consume it and develop. The meaning of the verse may be that Allah has grown all kinds of plants by means of rain. Therefore, water is the cause of appearance of plants and growth of the living things.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran.
شكرًا يا ربي شكرًا هديت قلبي شكرًا نورت دربي شكرًا شكرًا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرًا يا.
We are looking at the clean earth from Islamic point of view. The environmental stewardship is an integral part of Islam. We are currently experiencing a revival in practice and scholarly engagement in this important area. Quran and Hadith contain numerous textual evidences in support of environmental stewardship. The Quran says in chapter 6, verse 165, "It is He, Allah, who has appointed you vicegerent on the earth." And indeed, the Muslim's character or khulq is one that is to be inclined to moderation and conservation rather than excess and wastefulness. The role of human beings in general, the Muslims by extension, even more so, as caretakers of the environment is stressed in Quranic verses that tie stewardship or khalifa to the earth. There is a responsibility charged to human beings to carry out this trustee or amana. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, said the world is beautiful and verdant, and verily Allah the Exalted has made you his stewards in it, and he sees how you acquit yourself.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Ali from Arab English Radio, and we are trying to be with you and talk to you about Islamic perspective and how we should interact with the environment that surrounds us. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Allah has sent Adam to make the earth flourish by the help of his offspring. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a letter to his governor, said, you should be more concerned with the construction, that is, physical development of the land, than collecting the land tax. Elsewhere, he said, fear God, fear Allah, regarding his servants and lands. You are responsible for the lands and the animals. You see how important it is, dear brothers and sisters, the land in Islamic literature, to keep it clean, to keep it pure, and the function of earth and land in Islamic environments. The next element that we need to talk about is plants. Plants in Islamic teachings, again, have been looked at and have been talked about. Islam highly recommends planting trees and urges people to protect them to the extent that planting a tree is considered as an act of worship, for which special prayer is recommended. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, unless you are compelled, do not cut down a tree. Before battles, the Prophet always gave instruction to his soldiers not to harm women, children, the elderly, and those who surrendered, and not to destroy or burn farms and gardens. In addition to protection of plants, there are many hadiths and narrations that recommend Muslims to plant and farm. For example, the Prophet said, whoever plants a tree and then a human or a creature of God eats its fruit, it will be considered as an act of charity for him. Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, farm and plant by God. There is no occupation more lawful and pleasant than this. The best occupation is farming. This is what Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. The greatest alchemy is farming.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain pouring all your love to every soul.
In the last episode of today's special, we speak about planting trees as a means of good deeds for protecting the environment. We continue. Every good work and beneficial deed done by an individual will be given a stipulated remuneration and reward. Such are examples of impactful activities. It may only be seen by naked eye as one act of planting, but in return, it brings benefit to many in the long run. It could be as direct as to how the birds, animals, and humankind are able to benefit from the plantation, such as through its branches, barks, leaves, and fruits. On the other hand, the indirect impacts would be caring for the environment, promoting the preservation of the earth, and putting in a conscious effort to ensure the planet that we live in remains to be a home for many. The act of planting trees, as mentioned by the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, is regarded as a means of charity.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
Today's special and the land and soil. Like air and water, the land and soil are essential for the perpetuation of our lives and the lives of other creatures. If we would truly give thanks to the Creator, we are required to maintain the productivity of the soil and not expose it to erosion by wind and flood. In building, framing, grazing, forestry, and mining, we are required to follow practices which do not bring about its degradation, but preserve and enhance its fertility. For to cause the degradation of this gift of Allah, these blessings of Allah, upon which so many forms of life depend, is to deny His tremendous favors. And because many act that leads to its destruction and degradation of life on earth, such acts are categorically forbidden.
Muhammad Rilwi.
I mentioned this many times, and I don't shy away from repeating what is important to understand or remember, is that there was no need for the words, for the command, kulu washrabu, eat and drink. Because Allah has created us with the nature of need for food and drink. Even if there is not an ayat which says kulu washrabu, we would still be eating and drinking. The main hukum here, the main command in this ayat is the last part. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Do not be extravagant. Do not go beyond the limit. So He knows we are going to eat, we are going to drink. That's taken for granted. But the main hukum in these two ayats, in surah number 7 and 6, both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these words. And then He says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Do not go beyond the limit. Do not waste what I have given to you. Do not over, indulge yourself because it is going to be harmful for yourself. And the issue is where, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yuhibbul musrifeen. He doesn't love those, doesn't like those who are extravagant, who go beyond the limits of moderation.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. Till then, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding the friends of Allah, the characteristics of the friends of God. The friends of God are the awliya Allah. This is one of those Islamic terms. It's been mentioned in the Holy Quran and in the Hadith in a lot of places, right? This is a very special group of people, right? And, you know, they've been praised in the Holy Quran and Hadith. But who are they? What are their characteristics? How do we know if we're one of them? Could be that we are one of them. How do we know this for sure? Here in this Hadith, Imam Ali mentions some of their characteristics. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "The friends of Allah are those who look at the inward aspect of the world, while the other people look at its outer aspect." This is one of the characteristics of the friends of God. They look at the world from the inside. They don't simply look at the apparent nature of the world, what's going on. They pierce into its inner core, and they distinguish what it really is. The second characteristic that the Imam mentions is this: they busy themselves with its remoter benefits, while the other people busy themselves in its immediate benefits. This probably refers to the fact that they benefit from its more hidden aspect than the immediate benefits that the people take from this world. I mean, for example, it could be simply a reference to the fact that these people use this world for the benefits that they will take from it in the hereafter. They use it as a bridge to the hereafter, those benefits will come later on. Whereas people normally take the immediate benefits of the world, they seek benefits that they can take from it immediately, not in the benefits, the spiritual benefits that they will have in the hereafter. They kill those things which they fear would have killed them, and they abandon here in this world what they believe would abandon them. For example, if they think that there's something in this world that would be of no use to them, will be beneficial for them temporarily, but in the end will harm them, so they leave that thing. They take the amassing of wealth by others as a small matter. If they see a person who's really rich, has a lot of money, he's a billionaire, he's made the Forbes list for the richest people of the world, they don't take it as to be very important. In fact, they regard it, the Imam says, as a loss. They say, what a great loss this person has. They are enemies of those things which others love, while they love things which others hate. In meaning, they are enemies of those things which others love. People love wealth, people love to be popular, people love, these kind of things, but these people don't like them. The friends of God don't like these things. Through them, the Quran has been learnt. they learned the Quran, they memorized the Quran, they learned the Quran, they learn its teachings and they practice it, and they have been given knowledge through the Quran. The knowledge that they have is from the Quran. They might not have any degree from any university, they might not have a PhD, they might not have a master's or anything, but they have knowledge of the Quran, and this is very valuable for them. With them, the Quran is staying while they stand by the Quran. Meaning, the Quran remains in this world by means of them. They practice the Quran, they teach the Quran, and they stand by the teachings of the Quran. They do not see any object of hope above what they hope in, and no object of fear above what they fear. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the characteristics of the friends of God in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام. القرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters from all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We are so glad to have Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Rahullah with us. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, everyone. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
And Hussein, how is it going?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is ready, energetic. So brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you are doing great. Let's get started. Today, we will be talking about Ayah 94 and 95. Surah Al-A'raf. On what page?
162.
Page 162, if you have your Quran with you, Ayah 94 and 95 of Surah Al-A'raf. We will be listening to the recitation and inshallah we'll continue our class. Ready everyone?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَّبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ. ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون.
Nice recitation, mashallah. So Ayah 94 and Ayah 95. I will read it once, guys, okay? Then, inshallah, when a few will be reciting, then we'll work on tajweed points. All right?
Yep.
Yes. So,
let's see what Allah Almighty says in Ayah 94 and 95 of Surah Al-A'raf. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَّبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ. We did not send a prophet to any town without visiting its people with stress and distress so that they might entreat for Allah Almighty's forgiveness. The point is this. Let me ask you a question. Ali Nasir, do you think that we will never face troubles and problems and difficulties and challenges in life?
No.
It is impossible, yes?
Yeah.
So this life is full of challenges. Hassan, you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Hussein, can you name some of the challenges that people, humankind, might face in this life?
They can face many challenges.
The biggest one, what do you think?
In my opinion, the biggest challenge is that someone does zulm on him, what we...
So, if someone is being oppressed...
Oppressed, yes.
Yeah, so...
It's the biggest challenge.
Okay, great. So, this life is full of challenge, as Allah Almighty says. We did not send a prophet to any town without visiting its people with stress and distress. It means people are being... People are being tested, yeah? They face challenges, they face a lot of troubles. So what? To strengthen their iman. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ. So that they get back to Allah Almighty. They should understand the reality. Alright?
Yes.
This is the meaning of this. They should understand the reality.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So, Hussein, can you read the first ayah? وما أرسلنا في قرية.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. وما Is the mat واجب علي ناصر؟
No.
So it is?
Jais.
You need to stretch it or no?
You're it's allowed. Optional.
Optional.
Yeah.
You're allowed to ignore this.
Yes.
And fi qaryatin tanwin plus meem.
Yes.
Huh? How do you read it?
Fi qaryatin
tim.
It's idgham.
Idgham. You merge them. And min nabiyyin. Min nabiyyin. Min nun sakin plus nun
idgham mithlain.
Idgham mithlain also called idgham with ghunna.
Yeah.
Min nabiyyin yin illa no changes, right?
Yeah, idgha
illa akhadhna ahlaha. So this mad are three mad up to now we have had. Wa ma arsalna illa akhadhna ahlaha. Since the hamza is in another word.
Yes.
Okay. بالبأساء the mad, is that wajib?
Yes, now it's wajib.
This is wajib. ضراء is the mad wajib?
Yes.
So we should stretch it for how many counts, Hassan?
Six
counts, five counts, six counts. So we should بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون. Make sure you pronounce the تشديد properly. Next ayah, Ali Nasir, can you recite it? ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا.
Yes. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون
يشعرون Alright, thank you. Let's fix these things. ثم Make sure you stretch the sound, yes?
Yeah.
Two counts.
مشدد.
Yeah. ثم the nasal sound.
Yes.
بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا قد حسن The echoing sound on dal, yes?
Yes.
قد
قلقل
Yeah, قلقل ضرور قلقل قد مس آباءنا The mad is واجب الضراء مد واجب والسراء مد واجب فأخذناهم هم بغتة Ali Nasir did not apply the rule إخفاء of meme Yeah?
Yeah.
فأخذناهم ميم ساكن plus با ميم ساكن plus با you should hide the sound of ميم yeah
yes
أخذناهم بغتة غين هيفي ساوند بغتة تو وهم لا يشعرون so that's it brothers and sisters now time to recite these two آياتين from سورة الأعراف I will be reciting everyone is going to repeat Make sure, inshallah, you join us in practice. Everyone, ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء
وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء
إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون
إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون
ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا
ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا
قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون
وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون
Alright, let's pay attention to the إخفاء of me. فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون
فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters. Thanks for listening to IRB English Radio. That's it from us for today. See you in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya sari'a rida, ighfir li man la yamliku illa ad-du'a, fa innaka fa'alun lima tasha'.
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء. O he whose pleasure is quickly achieved, forgive him who owns nothing but supplication, for you do what you will.
يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء.
O he whose name is remedy, whose remembrance is cure and whose obedience is wealth.
ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء.
Have mercy upon him whose capital is hope and whose weapon is tears. Brothers and sisters, Allah's pleasure is quickly achieved by a servant who is under his wrath due to wrongdoing and has resorted to beseeching and repentance afterwards. Because Allah's mercy, Allah's love, Allah's generosity, it is infinite. And that's why someone who has committed sins for even years without any lapses is forgiven
by only a moment of repentance, by only a moment of regret, and his few deeds are accepted and attended to. Of course, he has to make up for what he has skipped of his actions, obligatory actions, and the rights of the people whom he has missed, of course. But his repentance, his regret is accepted. Therefore, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, after the divine phrase, O whose pleasure is quickly achieved, Ya Sari' al-Ridha states, اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء. Forgive him who owns nothing but supplication. Why? Because a real sincere supplication implies the supplicant's poverty and meanness, and that he owns no means of worship. He owns nothing of obedience or good deeds to be forgiven for. That he owns no benefit or loss. He cannot remove any evil or gain any good. The supplicant has not come to Allah's presence but with your assistance and mercy. If Allah your mercy had not attracted him, the supplicant could not utter the supplicating phrases. He couldn't have said even a word of these supplicating phrases. And he could not weep for some moments. Such a servant, of course, is worthy of your mercy and benevolence. He should call upon you. The generous does not ask a poor servant about what he has brought. Rather, he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, asks about what he wants. So, you have said that if the servant comes one step towards me, I would take 10 steps towards him. My Lord, I am so needful, I am so disabled that I cannot come towards you even as much as one step. But I want to. You take his step towards me so that I would get free of satanic desires and carnal soul, so that I would get subjected to your mercy.
Oh, he who is readily pleased, forgive one who owes nothing but supplications to you. You do what you will. Oh, he whose name is the remedy and whose remembrance is a sure cure for all ailments, and obedience to whom makes one self-sufficient. Have mercy on one whose only asset is hope and whose only armor is weeping. Oh, he who perfected all bounties and who was off all misfortune. Light who illuminates those who are in darkness. Omniscient who knows without learning. Bless Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, and do unto me in accordance with that which befits you.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So dear listeners, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks to the Almighty Allah by calling him Ya Sari al-Rida. This calling him, O whose pleasure is quickly achieved, can mean two things. The first is that Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam is teaching us that you have to return to Almighty Allah knowing that He is Sari al-Rida. If you want to supplicate to your Lord, if you want to talk to your Lord, if you want to be forgiven, you have to realize that He is the only one who is Sari al-Rida. He is the only one who is quickly achieved. Because you have got nothing to present to Him, you have got nothing to be forgiven for, but yet, even at this moment, He is Sari al-Rida. Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us the method, the prerequisite of acceptance of supplications. اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء. Yet, even this sinful, regretful servant has one thing, and that is nothing but supplication. Ya Sari al-Rida, O the one whose pleasure is quickly achieved, forgive him who owns nothing, not even a single good deed, but illa du'a, but supplication. فَإِنَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا تَشَى. So you do what you will. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Your Jannah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need You by my side. I wish to be close to You through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother and I'm your host Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's to my brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when we are talking about this amazing persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, this individual who truly was the embodiment of the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. I mean, when you look at the life of the commander of the believers, really you see an individual who from birth until his martyrdom, from cradle to grave, if you will, it was just the Holy Quran that was speaking and walking around. It was the best and most perfect disciple and living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. One of the beautiful instances in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam is known as Laylatul Mabit. And so this night of Mabit, if you will, this is the night in which the Quraysh polytheists and the polytheists of Mecca, they had decided to bring various warriors from various different tribes to come together and assassinate the Holy Prophet on this specific night. And so the Holy Prophet was forewarned by the Almighty Allah that this is going to happen. Now, the forewarning was that these people are plotting to kill you on this night. What needed to be done was something that was not brought up or foretold. So this idea that it was up to the Holy Prophet to figure out what to do, we have told you that this is what they are going to try to do. So here, the Holy Prophet, he tells Imam Ali alayhi salam that this is what's going to happen. So Imam Ali alayhi salam here, he volunteers to sleep upon the bed of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, so that the Holy Prophet can go and flee to the city of Medina and to emigrate. And this is what is known as the Hijra. It is on this night that the Hijra calendar, I believe, begins, is the night where this migration occurred. The Holy Prophet left Mecca and went towards the city of Medina. And so what an amazing lesson here, right? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he knows that he is at the cusp of death. He is facing death. You know, these 40 warriors from 40 different tribes, they are, you know, totally seriously, they are going to kill the Holy Prophet who's in the bed. And so Imam Ali here, he covers himself with the blanket so that these people think that it is him. What self-sacrifice is this of Imam Ali alayhi salam? You know, in order to save the life of the Prophet, in order to save the life of Islam and the message of Islam, and in order to save the Holy Quran, he is